And if they deny you, then say, for me are my deeds, and for you are your deeds. You are dissociated from what I do, and I am dissociated from what you do. Because each is responsible for himself. And among them are those who listen to you. Meaning they listen to you, but they do not understand. Because if they did, they would have believed. But can you cause the deaf to hear, although they will not use reason? And among them are those who look at you, but can you guide the blind, although they will not attempt to see? Indeed, Allah does not wrong the people at all, but it is the people who are wronging themselves. And on the day when He will gather them, it will be as if they had not remained in the world, but an hour of the day, and they will know each other. Meaning on the day of judgment, life in this world will seem so short. Just like a day or part of a day. Just enough time in which they barely got to know one another. And the next thing, death came and they were gone. This is how short the life of this world is. Anything you do, anything you enjoy, isn't it short-lived? You go for a vacation and what happens? You come back. A person is born and then what happens? They die. This is life, short. So this dunya should not be our priority. We should realize that we are travelers here. We are here temporarily. Our real home is somewhere else. And we need to get there. Those will have lost who denied the meeting with Allah and were not guided. And whether we show you some of what we promised them or we take you in debt, to us is their return. Then either way, Allah is a witness concerning what they are doing. And for every nation is a messenger. So when their messenger comes, it will be judged between them in justice and they will not be wronged. When the Prophet comes, then what happens? Some people believe, others don't. And those who don't believe, when they repeatedly deny the warnings that are given to them, when they insist, then what happens? Eventually, they're punished. And they say, when is the fulfillment of this promise, if you should be truthful? So when is this day of judgment going to be? Allah says, tell them, I possess not for myself any harm or benefit, except what Allah should will. All power is with Allah. For every nation is a specified term. When their time has come, then they will not remain behind an hour, nor will they precede it. Death comes at a time when it is meant to come. Not a minute before, not a minute after. Say, have you considered if His punishment should come to you by night or by day? For which aspect of it would the criminals be impatient? Meaning, think, if the adab is going to come, doesn't matter if it comes in the day or the night. Why are you being impatient for it? Why do you want it so bad? Is it really something that you should be seeking? Is it really something that you should be waiting for? Because they would keep saying, when is the day of judgment going to be? When is the day of judgment going to be? So Allah says, these ayat, they're teaching us that is it something that you should be waiting for? I mean, it's like a person sitting and wondering, I wonder when I'm going to die. I wonder when I'm going to die. I wish I could die today or tomorrow or day after. No, death is certain, it's coming. What you need to be concerned about is what you are going to do now. Take advantage of life before death, because death is certain, unavoidable. Then is it that when it has actually occurred, you will believe in it now and you were once for it impatient? Then it will be said to those who had wronged, taste the punishment of eternity. Are you being recompensed except for what you used to earn? وَيَسْتَنْبِئُونَكَ أَحَقٌ هُوْ And they ask information of you. Is it really true? They ask you, like really seriously, day of judgment, is that for sure? Is that certain? Say, yes, by my Lord, indeed it is truth, and you will not cause failure to Allah. And if each soul that wronged had everything on earth, it would offer it in ransom. And they will confide regret when they see the punishment, and they will be judged in fairness, and they will not be wronged. Ala inna lillahi ma fis samawati wal ard. Unquestionably, to Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and the earth. Ala inna wa'dallahi haqq. Unquestionably, the promise of Allah is truth, but most of them do not know. Huwa yuhyi wa yumeet. He gives life and causes death. Wa ilayhi turja'oon. And to Him, you all will be returned. Ya ayyuha an-nas, O mankind, قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ There has come to you instruction from your Lord. وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ And a healing for what is in the heart. What is in the chest? The heart. And what is this healing? What is this instruction that has come to us from Allah? It is the Qur'an. وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ And it is guidance and mercy for the believers. What do we see in this ayah? Qur'an is instruction. It tells us what we should do. And at the same time, it is also a means to cure disease. It's also shifa. Aisha radiallahu anha said that the Prophet ﷺ once came to her and he saw that a lady was with Aisha radiallahu anha who was trying to treat her. Aisha radiallahu anha must be unwell. And she was blowing on her. Meaning she was saying something and blowing something on Aisha radiallahu anha. So the Prophet ﷺ said, عَالِجِيهَا بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ Cure her through the book of Allah. Meaning use the Qur'an in order to seek treatment. Use the Qur'an. How? How do you use the Qur'an? By reciting it. Reciting the Qur'an is a cure. Not just keeping it by the bed. Okay? Or not keeping it under the pillow. Some people do that also. They put the Qur'an under the pillow and they put their head on top of the pillow. I mean, this is disrespect. Or keeping the Qur'an in the car, you know, so that the car is safe. No. The Qur'an is meant to be recited. When a person recites it, then this is what brings cure. You see, just like medication. If you go to the doctor, get a prescription, buy the medication, bring it home, leave it in your kitchen and do not eat it. Will it help? No. So the Qur'an is a cure when we recite it. And it's a cure for physical diseases and spiritual diseases and social problems and emotional issues also. Because when a person recites it, he reflects on it, he implements it, then what happens? The Qur'an brings solutions. It makes a person positive. It makes a person get over unnecessary fears and worries. Relaxes a person. Brings him peace and calmness. So the Qur'an is a cure. You know, the Prophet ﷺ, during his time, once some companions, they had gone somewhere and they had to rest somewhere and there were some people, they asked them if they could stay with them and they refused. And then what happened? One of their leaders, he got bitten by, you know, a poisonous animal. And they were trying to cure him and they couldn't figure out. So they went to these Sahaba outside their population and they said, is anyone a doctor amongst you? Anyone know what to do? And one of the Sahaba, he went and he just recited Suratul Fatiha. And then he kept passing his hand over the part that he had been bitten. And the man was cured. So the people were so happy. They gave the Sahaba some, you know, gifts. So they went to the Prophet ﷺ with those gifts asking, is it allowed for us to take? The Prophet ﷺ, he was happy. He smiled. And he asked, what did you do? And they said, we just recited Surah Al-Fatiha. And he was cured. So reciting the Qur'an is a cure for physical disease also. And the Qur'an is also a rahmah, a means of obtaining Allah's mercy. When a person recites the Qur'an, when a person follows the Qur'an, acts upon it, then he receives Allah's mercy. Then he draws closer to Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said, no people get together in a house of the houses of Allah, reciting the book of Allah and learning it together among themselves, but calmness comes down to them. Divine mercy covers them from above and the angels surround them and Allah makes a mention of them among those who are with Him. So it is an honor, a blessing to be with the Qur'an. So this should not be taken as a burden, rather something to feel happy about. قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ Say, in the bounty of Allah and His mercy, in that, فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا In that, let them rejoice. They should be happy. هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ It is better than what they accumulate. Earlier we learned, فَاسْتَبْشِرُوا بِبَيْعِكُمُ الَّذِي بَايَعْتُمْ بِهِ Rejoice with the bayr, the transaction that you have made with Allah. And here, فَلْيَفْرَحُوا They should be happy with the Qur'an this Allah has given. Say, have you seen what Allah has sent down to you of provision, of which you have made some lawful and some unlawful? Say, has Allah permitted you to do so? To change Allah's law? Who gave you the authority? Or do you invent something about Allah? And what will be the supposition of those who invent falsehood about Allah on the day of resurrection? Indeed, Allah is full of bounty to the people, but most of them are not grateful. Allah says over here that most people are not grateful. That it's unfortunate that even when the blessing of Quran is with a person, he doesn't feel grateful for that. And O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are not engaged in any matter. Meaning no matter what you are doing, no matter what state you are in pain or in comfort, it's night time or daytime, you're eating or you're sleeping, you're talking or you're walking, no matter what you are doing, Or recite any of the Qur'an, meaning any part of the Qur'an you're reciting, Surah Al-Fatiha or Surah Al-Nas. And you people do not do any deed except that we are witnesses over you. Meaning the whole time Allah is watching. Who is sitting in what condition? Because sometimes the parents cannot see. The husband cannot see. The teacher cannot see. But who is seeing? So feel yourself under the eyes of Allah right now. Allah is watching me. And think, is this an appropriate way of sitting in front of Allah? If Allah was watching me? You know, if we're praying and somebody brings a camera and starts recording us, what would we do? We would immediately fix ourselves because we are being watched. If we are praying and somebody walks in the room, what would we do? Fix ourselves immediately. We become so conscious. Allah is watching us no matter what we are engaged in. Once I was teaching a class and there was too much fiddling going on. So I had this a projector kind of thing. It had a camera in it. So what you could do is you could put something under it, or in whichever direction you turn the lens to, it would display that on the screen. So I put the camera in direction of the whole class. And I think that's one of the best classes I've ever taught. The way they were sitting. Everybody was so focused because everybody could see themselves. And they knew that, oh, they're watching me, people behind me. So everybody became conscious. This is something natural. So we need to remind ourselves, my Rabb is watching me. No matter what I'm doing, Allah is watching me. When you are involved in it, no matter what you're doing, Allah is watching you. And not absent from your Lord is any part of an atom's weight within the earth or within the heaven or anything smaller than that or greater, but that it is in a clear register. Everything is in a clear register, big or small. We learn in the hadith that on the day of judgment, a person will be brought and it will be said, present his minor sins. So his minor sins will be presented, right? Small. They will be presented. And then he will be asked, did you do such and such on such and such day? And he will say, yes, yes, yes. And he will be scared. He will be worried that what if my major sins are presented? If they are presented, I'm doomed. So then Allah will say that give him in place of every sin he has done a good deed. And then that person will say, oh Allah, I have some other sins also which I don't see here. Because small or big, everything is being recorded. Everything is being recorded. Ala inna awliya Allah. Unquestionably, for the allies of Allah, there will be no fear concerning them, nor will they grieve. Why? Because they did what they did while realizing that their Lord was watching them. They were being watched. So they did everything properly, correctly, fearing Allah, whether they were alone or in public. Who are they? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Those who believed and were fearing Allah. For them are good tidings in the worldly life and in the hereafter. No change is there in the words of Allah. That is what is the great attainment. The Prophet ﷺ said, there are people from the servants of Allah who are neither prophets nor martyrs. The prophets and martyrs will envy them on the day of resurrection for their rank from Allah. The Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, who are they? He said, they are people who love one another for the Qur'an without having any mutual kinship and giving property to one. Meaning, it's not that they love each other because of some blood ties that they have or because they get a lot of material gifts from each other. They love each other for the ruh of Allah. And this has been interpreted as the Qur'an. Quran, or sincerely for the sake of Allah. He said, I swear by Allah, their faces will glow and they will be sitting in pulpits of light. They will have no fear on the day when people will have fear. And they will not grieve when the people will grieve. Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. They are those who are with the Qur'an. وَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ قَوْلُهُمْ. And let not their speech grieve you. Indeed, honor due to power belongs to Allah entirely. He is the hearing, the knowing. The thing is that when you have befriended Allah, then you don't need to fear people. The fear of people only goes when the fear of Allah comes in. Because then the focus has shifted, right? That now a person is doing what he's doing out of the fear of Allah. So over here, the Prophet is comforted. Their speech should not grieve you. Don't be afraid of them. Why? Because good and harm, everything comes from who? Allah. And He knows what's going on. Unquestionably, to Allah belongs whoever is in the heavens and whoever is on the earth. And those who invoke other than Allah do not actually follow His partners. They follow not except assumption. Meaning they have made all of these deities, these gods. They're not actually following these gods. What are they following? Their desires, their assumption, and they're not but falsifying. It is He who made for you the night to rest therein, and the day giving sight. Indeed, in that are signs for people who listen. قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. They have said, Allah has taken a son. سُبْحَانَهُ. Exalted is He. He is the one free of need. To Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. You have no authority for this claim. Do you say about Allah that which you do not know? Say, indeed, those who invent falsehood about Allah will not succeed. For them is brief enjoyment in this world, then to us is their return. Then we will make them taste the severe punishment because they used to disbelieve. وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ نُوحٍ. And recite to them the news of Nuh, when he said to his people, O my people, if my residence and my reminding of the signs of Allah has become burdensome upon you, then I have relied upon Allah. Because sometimes people get fed up of others reminding them. So the people of Nuh a.s., they also got fed up with Nuh a.s., that you've been telling us for 900 years, enough, we don't want to hear anymore, go do something else. He said, I have relied upon Allah, so resolve upon your plan and call upon your associates. Then let not your plan be obscure to you. Then carry it out upon me and do not give me respite. Meaning, do what you want to hurt me. I am not giving up. And if you turn away from my advice, then no payment have I asked of you. Meaning, why do you not accept what I tell you? My reward is only from Allah. And I have been commanded to be of the Muslims. I have surrendered to Him. I'm not following my desires over here. And they denied Him. So we saved him and those with him in the ship and made them successors. And we drowned those who denied our signs. Then see, how was the end of those who were warned? Then we sent after him messengers to their people, and they came to them with clear proofs, but they were not to believe in that which they had denied before. Because what happens? Once a person denies, then it's very difficult to accept afterwards. Thus we seal over the hearts of the transgressors. Then we sent after them Musa and Harun to Fir'aun and his establishment with our signs. But they behaved arrogantly and were a criminal people. So when there came to them the truth from us, they said, indeed, this is obvious magic. Remember the beginning of the surah? What was the Qur'an called? Magic. What was the Prophet ﷺ called? Magician. Musa a.s., he received the same response from his people. Musa a.s. said, do you say this about the truth when it has come to you? Is this what you say about the truth when it has come to you? Is this magic? Meaning, how is this magic? But magicians will not succeed. They said, have you come to us to turn us away from that upon which we found our forefathers? And so that you too may have grandeur in the land? And we are not believers in you. And Fir'aun said, bring to me every learned magician. So when the magicians came, Musa a.s. said to them, throw down whatever you will throw. And when they had thrown, Musa a.s. said, what you have brought is only magic. مَا جِئْتُمْ بِهِ السِّحْرِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَيُبْطِلُهُ. Indeed, Allah will expose its worthlessness. It seems very impressive, but Allah will reveal its worthlessness. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُصْلِحُ عَمَلَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Allah does not amend the work of the corruptors. وَيُحِقُّ اللَّهُ الْحَقَّ بِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ. And Allah will establish the truth by His words, even if the criminals dislike it. Allah's words, they are true. So they will prevail. Magic and anything else that opposes the words of Allah, it can never ever prevail. So what do we see over here? The magic of the magicians, it was countered by what? An ayah from Allah. And look at the determination of Musa a.s. that this is only magic and Allah will prove its worthlessness. And Allah's words, they will prevail. We learn about this one sahabi, Uthman ibn Abu al-As. He was appointed as the governor of At-Ta'if. And he said that he began to get confused during his salah. And this was bothering him a lot. So he left, he went to the Prophet ﷺ, and when he saw him, the Prophet ﷺ said, O son of Abu al-As, he said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. He said, what brings you here? Meaning you should be on your duty. What are you doing here? He said, O Messenger of Allah, I get confused during my prayer until I do not even know what I'm saying. And this is something difficult on me. So the Prophet ﷺ said, this is shaitan. Come here. So he said, I came close to the Prophet ﷺ. And he sat in front of him. And the Prophet ﷺ struck his chest 3 times with his hand. And he blew on his face. And he said, get out, O enemy of Allah. Get out, O enemy of Allah. Get out, O enemy of Allah. He did this 3 times. And then he said, go and do your work. And Uthman radiallahu anhu said, indeed, I never felt confused during my prayer after that. So what do we see over here? I mean, yes, definitely it was the Prophet ﷺ who was telling that shaitan to leave. But you see the determination in his words also. That he said, get out, O enemy of Allah. You have to have this faith when you're dealing with shaitan. You have to have this confidence. What happens is that we become afraid. Or when we're using Quran for shifa, then we are in shak, in doubt. Is it even going to work? I wonder. Right? And then you're wondering, was the cure because of the Quran or was it because of that new medication that the doctor prescribed? So have faith in the Quran, in the ayat of Allah. They are haqq. This is haqq. It will prevail. It will prevail. But no one believed in Musa except some youths among his people for fear of Fir'aun and his establishment that they would persecute them. And indeed Fir'aun was haughty within his land. And indeed he was of the transgressors. Meaning the threat of Fir'aun was real. It wasn't imaginary. He was indeed a transgressor. And Musa said, O my people, if you have believed in Allah, then rely upon Him if you should be believers. Because the thing is that anything a person does for Allah, he cannot do it without relying upon Allah. So he said, if you believe in Allah, if you truly believe in Him, then trust on Him. He will save you. If you're truly Muslims. فَقَالُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَنَجِّنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ So they said, upon Allah, yes, we do rely. Our Lord, make us not objects of trial for the wrongdoing people. And save us by your mercy from the disbelieving people. Generally what happens if somebody tells us, make dua. I'm like, yeah, but tell me something else also. Look at the response of the Bani Israel. They said, عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا Immediately, yes, on Allah we rely. And this is the kind of faith we need to have. حَسْبُنَ اللَّهِ Sufficient for us is Allah. And we inspired to Musa and his brother, settle your people in Egypt, in houses, and make your houses facing the Qibla, and establish prayer, and give good tidings to the believers. Meaning if you cannot have masajid, then make your homes masajid. Gather together over there and pray there. Learn over there. وَقَالَ مُوسَى And Musa said, Our Lord, indeed you have given Fir'aun and his establishment splendor and wealth in the worldly life. Meaning this is the reason for their misguidance and their oppression. Our Lord, that they may lead men astray from your way. Our Lord, obliterate their wealth and harden their hearts so that they will not believe until they see the painful punishment. So Musa alayhi salam, he prayed against Fir'aun. Allah said, your supplication has been answered. So remain on a right course and follow not the way of those who do not know. Meaning be patient. There is a time for everything. And we took the children of Israel across the sea. And Fir'aun and his soldiers pursued them in tyranny and enmity until when drowning overtook him, he said, I believe that there is no deity except that in whom the children of Israel believe. And I am of the Muslims. So what happened at the time of death? Fir'aun also believed. Because earlier we discussed this, that people think that only when I see Allah, then I'll believe in Him. When I see angels, then I'll believe in Him. Fir'aun tried to do that when he saw the angels of death. He said, I believe in Allah. Al-an, now, and you had disobeyed Him before and were of the corruptors? No, his iman was not accepted because this was not iman. So today, we will save you in body. Meaning he died, but his body was preserved. Why? So that you may be to those who succeed you a sign. And indeed, many among the people of our signs are heedless. They see the signs, but they don't take benefit from them. And we had certainly settled the children of Israel in an agreeable settlement and provided them with good things. And they did not differ until after knowledge had come to them. Indeed, your Lord will judge between them on the day of resurrection concerning that over which they used to differ. Amazing. When a person is in difficulty, shaitan makes him impatient. And when a person is relieved of that difficulty, then shaitan makes him arrogant and stubborn. The Bani Israel were saved. They were given knowledge. And what happened? They became divided. So if you are in doubt about that which we have revealed to you, then ask those who have been reading the scripture before you. The truth has certainly come to you from your Lord. So never be among those who doubt. And never be of those who deny the signs of Allah, and thus be among the losers. Indeed, those upon whom the word of your Lord has come into effect will not believe, even if every sign should come to them, until they see the painful punishment. Like Fir'aun. Why? Why will they believe then, when they see the painful punishment? Because then what other choice do they have? What other option do they have? What is it that prevents a person from accepting the truth, even though he sees every sign? What? It's the fact that he does not desire it. You know, like a person who's not hungry. Will he see food on the table? No, he won't even notice it. Isn't it? A person doesn't care about a clean house. Will they see dirt on the floor? Never. They won't notice it. Why is it that you notice it? Why is it that you notice every hair and every little thing? Why? Because you are concerned about keeping the house clean. So whatever you desire, whatever your concern is, that is what you find. We learned earlier in the surah that they are satisfied with the life of this world. اِطْمَأَنُّوا بِهَا. When they're satisfied with it, they're not searching for anything better. So even though they see all the signs, they don't believe. Then has there not been a single city that believed, so its faith benefited it, except the people of Yunus? When they believed, we removed from them the punishment of disgrace in worldly life and gave them enjoyment for a time. This was an exceptional case. The Prophet of Allah, Yunus alayhi salam, he became angry with his people when they disbelieved, and he left them without Allah's order. And what happened? He ended up in the belly of the fish. And the people back home, they became scared and worried that our Prophet is angry with us, and he threatened us that a punishment will come. And when they saw the signs of the punishment approaching, they repented. They began asking Allah for forgiveness. So what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted their tawbah at that time, simply because their Prophet had left them. So this was an exceptional situation. Otherwise, tawbah is not accepted at the last moment, at the time of death, at gunpoint. And had your Lord willed, those on earth would have believed, all of them entirely. Meaning Allah could have forced people to believe, but does He force them? No, He doesn't. Then would you compel the people in order that they become believers? If Allah does not, then how can you? Why would you? And it is not for a soul to believe except by permission of Allah. Iman is also a blessing, and no blessing comes to a person except after Allah's permission. And He will place defilement upon those who will not use reason. Say, observe what is in the heavens and earth. Look at it with your eyes open. Reflect on it. But of no avail will be signs or warners to a people who do not believe. Meaning they do not benefit from these signs. So do they wait except for like what occurred in the days of those who passed on before them? Say, then await. Indeed, I am with you among those who wait. Then we will save our messengers and those who have believed. Thus it is an obligation upon us that we save the believers. Say, O people, if you are still in doubt as to my religion, then I do not worship those which you worship besides Allah, but I worship only Allah, the one who causes your death. The one who causes your death. What a beautiful introduction to Allah. He in whose control is your death. Meaning after all, you have to return to Him. How can you escape Him? And I have been commanded to be of the believers. And I have been commanded, direct your face toward the religion, inclining to truth, and never be of those who associate others with Allah. وَلَا تَدْعُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَلَا يَضُرُّكَ. And do not invoke besides Allah that which neither benefits you nor harms you. Complete rejection of shirk. For if you did, then indeed you would be of the wrongdoers. وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ. And if Allah should touch you with adversity, there is no remover of it except Him. What a clear verse. Therefore, do not even expect anyone else to remove the hardships from you. Any hardship, turn to Allah. This is why He puts us in hardship, in difficulty, so that we turn to Him. And if He intends for you good, then there is no repeller of His bounty. He causes it to reach whom He wills of His servants, and He is the forgiving and merciful. Say, O mankind, the truth has come to you from your Lord. So whoever is guided is only guided for the benefit of his soul. And whoever goes astray, only goes astray in violation against it. Meaning if a person rejects, he only harms himself. If a person does good, he only benefits himself. And I am not over you a manager. And follow what is revealed to you, and be patient until Allah will judge. And He is the best of judges. So what is it that we have to do also? Follow what Allah has revealed. And be patient over the trials in life. And await the best outcome, the best promised reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته